your ribbons and bows. Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this.
We also want to honor the wisdom of Indigenous people and Earthkeepers on this week of Earth Day. Everywhere, those who've grown up with a very different relationship with the earth than most of us have known, growing up in industrial civilization and industrial growth societies. Part of what we foster on this show is cultivating a life that honors the sacredness of the earth and of all beings. And we also want to support people in deepening their spiritual or sacred practices, their participation in earth-based ritual and ceremony to deepen their connection with Gaia and with the earth community. So when we think about the earth, and especially when we see a large photo of the earth from space, we feel the largeness of the earth as well as the largesse, the generosity and inclusiveness of earth. And our show today is going to be about this inclusiveness. My guest and I in the last couple of years have awakened to the possibility, indeed the likelihood, of near-term human extinction. Now, you may disagree with that possibility, and that's fine, but for us, the possibility of human extinction has deepened our commitment to the earth and our passion for living peacefully, passionately, and with purpose in a time of endings. My guest today is Peter Melton from Northern California. He's a great example of someone who has a passion for the planet and also a passion to help others explore what is important to them. Peter's most passionate pursuits include exploring collapse and abrupt climate change, along with the exploration of our human potential that lies beyond our humanity, what is commonly called spirituality. He has stepped up to help me spread my message in a variety of ways, and I look forward to working with him in many more ways in the future. Now, he spent the last year helping my co-author of our book, Extinction Dialogues, Guy McPherson, spread his message by doing 3 speaking tours in Northern California last year. And together, Peter and I are working on finding more ways to help people who are aware of collapse and climate change live with peace, passion, and purpose in the present moment. Welcome to the Lifeboat Hour, Peter.
Hey, I'm in the lifeboat with you, Carolyn, and all our wonderful listeners. I'm just visualizing actually jumping off a sinking boat into an actual lifeboat and realizing that here we are together in this urgent time. And I want to say, too, what an honor it is to be with you on this boat, you, Carolyn, and also you, the listener. So thank you.
Well, thanks, Peter. I'm so glad you're in the boat with me, paddling along. Who knows where the boat is going to go, but we're going to have a good time paddling, right?
That's one of my main quests there is to find a way to, like you said, live with some kind of peace and some kind of passion that also includes whatever kind of joy and love we can come up with and humor and in all the zaniness that we've co-created.
Absolutely. And, you know, I want to talk about 2 really important things today. The first has to do with, Peter, where you went last weekend and where I'm going this weekend. In the last few years, I've come to believe that one of the most important things we can be doing right now in response to our dire planetary predicament is conscious grief work. Frances Weller is a psychotherapist with whom I've collaborated on several occasions and whom I consider probably the foremost expert on grief in the United States. I met Francis when I lived in Sonoma County, California in the 1990s, and both Francis and I had the privilege of attending grief rituals offered by Maladoma and Sobhanfu Somme, who are both from the Dagara tribe of West Africa. And in that tribe, grief rituals are conducted regularly because the people believe that if we don't release our grief, we become toxic to the community. So, Peter, you had the opportunity to attend one of the grief workshops and rituals offered by Francis this past weekend. Would you tell us what you feel comfortable telling us about how that impacted you?
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for leading me to Francis in the first place when you had him on the show a while back.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, what a guy, and what a, it's almost beyond words, the container, the space, the opportunity to explore a topic that is so foreign to so many of us, and I'm raising my hand right here because it was so foreign to me. Even in exploring grief this past year and a half with my realization of our likely near-term extinction, There's different ways to access what that grief is and where it hides. And I found the opportunity to be with Francis and 50 other people up in Sebastopol last weekend to be instantly life-altering. The way that they set the container and set the opportunity up was just so rich. I was able to access through this combination of exercises and sounds and chants and drumming to find this place of, okay, I want to be up in my head about this, and I want to try to figure it out with my head and my brain and this all this wisdom I think I'm supposed to have, or, geez, I've been studying life for 30 years and I'm still not even real clear with what grief is. How could this be? I should be able to figure this out. And then realizing that it's about letting go of that mental process for me and just accepting that there's a lot more angles to find this grief and that I actually want to find the grief. And that was the first big breakthrough, was in this one dyad, it was like, well, what does grief even mean to me? I don't know. It's some feeling I'm hoping to avoid.
Right.
I mean, that's yeah. Where it started with me. It's like grief is something you avoid as long as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And when it shows up, you deal with it. But there
or you
we
run
are.
From it, or you run away from yeah. it.
right, exactly. And that was the next part of the thing. How do you deal with it once it does show up? And it's like, I don't know. I just wing it in the moment, or I continue to try to avoid it or justify or get away from it somehow because that's just a terrible thing I don't want to deal with. And through the process came to realize, now, wait a minute, can I reframe what grief is for me?
Right.
Can I understand it as a deep human emotion that is rich and powerful and helpful, and keeping it all bottled up inside may not be the best place for it.
Exactly.
And just that realization was, again, powerful. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to dare to look for it and find it. Go try to find it. Like I'm trying to find an article about that somebody wrote about methane or God knows what. You know, when I get that, I want to figure this out kind of feeling that I can do, especially you know, so many of us online these days and wanting to gobble up all the information. It's like, Peter, put some of that passion into finding your grief
right.
and being with it. And then the process of getting to watch it go away from a mental process and sink into a community process and the process where my grief was welcome. Francis said this line, it stuck with me, your grief is welcome here.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God, I've never even said my grief was welcome to me, let alone anywhere else. And
yep.
Now here I am in a community of 50 people who are all choosing to be there to sharpen this tool, to be in touch with their grief so that they can become more alive and more able to handle what may lie ahead in their lives. And, man, the process and the drumming and the chanting and the community acceptance and the literally go up and cry to the altar and come back and have community members hold me and say thank you for sharing your grief. Your grief is important to the community. And just really getting that. So, wow, there's a quick, brief synopsis, and just powerful, you know, all in one day, all in one little 8-hour session with 50 brothers and sisters. And wow, it can happen that quickly.
Well, it can, and I'm very happy to tell you that Sobhanfu is coming to Boulder, Colorado this weekend, and I'm going to be attending a grief weekend workshop with her, which I haven't been able to do with her for a really long time. I'm really looking forward to being with her again and having the opportunity to do my own grief work. And I'd also like to mention that in June, I'm going to be facilitating a grief weekend in Rhode Island called The Gifts of Grief, Grief as Sacred Work. That's going to happen June 12th through 14th, and people...
Yes, I'm very excited about that. I'm going to interrupt you there because I don't want you to just skip past that because I'm so aware of how important it is for so many of us now to pause and feel into this grief as a part of our process with this whole collapse, near-term extinction, climate shifts category that we find ourselves in, and pretty much anybody who's choosing to listen to this show is there with us, is that they're aware that this house of cards is falling apart, and whether it's the climate or whether it's nuclear war or God knows what, that things are falling apart, and we're going to need to be prepared for a different world. And those are some of the amazing gifts that you offer, not just in this upcoming grief workshop, but in your books and articles. And so I wanted to say thank you for all the work you have done to create a space also for people to feel into, to learn about, feel into, and then decide who they are going to be. So thank you for this workshop that you're putting on. And now you can continue telling us about that. That's in June 12th to 14th. I'm coming to Rhode Island.
Yeah, and thank you so much for interrupting me with that. You know, people can learn more about this by visiting my website at carolynbaker.net. Got all the information there right in the center of the homepage. Or you can go to our special Facebook page, which is called The Gifts of Grief. And this is a page that we've created for the workshop, The Gifts of Grief. We have a good number of people registered for the workshop, and we have space for many more. Now, this workshop is going to take place in a gorgeous environment in the woods outside of Providence, Rhode Island, with very nice accommodations and excellent food. It will be superbly nurturing and a very safe place for people to do this work.
Yeah, the thought of doing that outside over 3 days, you know, with a taste of what Francis offered, and I know your work has similarities and to his work with the sacredness and the drumming, and the thought of spreading that out over 3 days outside is just really, really a powerful feeling inside of me.
Yeah, and I think it will be for everyone who attends. And another thing I want to announce is that Francis and I are going to be doing a two-part webinar in May that we're going to launch on May 14th. It'll be May 14th and May 21st. And it's going to be called Grief and Joy in a Flatline Culture. That means in a culture that doesn't feel anything. I'll be posting how to register for that webinar on my website and on my Facebook page and, of course, on this show. So I want to emphasize here that grief work is one part of the work I do, but it's not all of it. But at the core of all my work is the bone marrow awareness that we absolutely must have deeper and more extensive conversations about how to navigate our planetary predicament by incorporating the emotional and spiritual tools to do so. You know, almost no day goes by that I don't encounter someone who's read all the data on collapse and all the science on near-term human extinction, but they don't really have the emotional and spiritual tools to cope with what they're reading. So they just keep reading more science and more science and more science, and as a result, they keep feeling worse and worse. And what I know with certainty is that no one is going to feel better or more alive by just reading only more science without getting the emotional and spiritual tools. So in my work, my books, my articles, my life coaching, I'm teaching people some of these tools. So one of the things that grief work really enhances is our sense of community with the people that we're sharing and experiencing it with. And today, Peter and I want to talk about community and a project that we're up to that we'd like all of you to be part of. As most of you know, I've been writing about the collapse of industrial civilization for many years, and we both have been reading about our global crisis for a long time. What we're really excited about is the possibility of putting together a larger network of people who want to get together on a regular basis online, perhaps on a weekly Skype call, to have some brainstorming sessions about how we can continue to connect with and support each other at this time when we all seem to lack people in our local communities that we can talk to about this. Peter, can you say more about this from your perspective?
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, just in the last month now or so that you and I have been spending a lot of time together, Carolyn, I've come to know your work a lot more, and I've come to realize that it's quite possible that you have had more deep emotional and spiritual conversations with people, perhaps than anyone else on the planet, about this topic, incorporating collapse and incorporating near-term human extinction into your counseling work, into your life coaching, into your writings, that this is really a cutting-edge experience that we're on, and you're a forerunner, a true pioneer, daring to be the person who will sit with and talk with people who are feeling into this amazing, never-before-felt human experience. And so I want to honor you for that first, and I want to say, wow, what a space to hold for people. And so many more and more people now coming into this community, if you will, where there's so much news now, and it's coming out. There was something on CNN today from David Ray Griffin about just how serious this situation is. And, I mean, it's getting out there, and as the snowball continues to tumble down the hill, interesting analogy, it's getting bigger and bigger, and there's just going to be a rush of people coming to realize that this house of cards is on very shaky ground.
Absolutely.
And so the need to be able to hold space with, to give them the space to grieve, and also the space to run this through their brains and to experience this world that they think they've known for their whole life, quite literally being pulled out from under them in very short time. You know, when Al Gore did his movie in 2006, The Inconvenient Truth, I think there was a big wake-up call for a lot of people that, wow, this could be a serious problem. But the vibe was so much, this is going to be a problem later.
Right.
And boy, every month those years get closer and closer. And I remember even thinking back then myself, well, 2100, that's a long way. Of course, we'll figure it out. Of course, the brightest minds are figuring this out right now, since they obviously know about it. If Al Gore's talking about it, then of course the government knows about it, and of course they're watching out for us. But just coming to realize just how quickly this is coming upon us is real powerful emotionally, and is really leading a lot of people to this place. And here we are, and I'm one of them. It's fascinating to get the latest news about how this thing is crumbling, and to be somebody who maybe thinks I know something that's going on, or have a little bit more insight when the topic comes up, or if I dare to bring it up. It's such an interesting and challenging topic to talk about as well. So yeah, wow. How do we support each other? You know, it's a lonely world for a lot of us out there when we're discovering all this stuff, but who do you talk to?
Exactly.
You know, there's online resources with the Near Term Human Extinction Support Group that's done so great, and a couple other near term web or Facebook pages, and Extinction Radio that's daring to talk about it. And of course, Guy McPherson, big props out to Guy. The work that I did with him over the last year was incredible, to dig deep and to dare to share with people, and to dare to connect the dots to say, wow, we could really be looking at near-term human extinction, and what does that bring up in you? It's just fascinating.
Well, you know, Peter, I want to really, you and I have talked about this, we really want to open the show today to anyone who'd like to call us, and I'm going to open it as of right now. Anyone who would like to call or make a comment, the number here is 888-874-4888. That is 888-874-4888. We'd really like to hear from you with any ideas you might have about how we can expand it into a larger network of support. And if you aren't able to call on the show today, call in live, you may contact me at carolyn@carolynbaker.net or leave a message for either me or Peter Melton on our Facebook pages. That's Peter Melton, M-E-L-T-O-N. Peter, would you give us your email address, please?
Yeah, that's Peter Melton, or peter.melton3@gmail.com. And
okay.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you, because what we're talking about here, the bigger thing is, Carolyn and I were brainstorming to say what's needed in the community. What really felt like was needed was a place for people to get more, even more connected beyond the emails, beyond the Facebook posts. Perhaps a chance, and we're just dreaming this up with you on the radio now, a weekly call, a big conference call or Skype calls or opportunities for people to have voice connection with other people who are going through these processes and to build new groups themselves and to emerge, to see what emerges from us getting together in community. And us saying, wow, I need to talk about this with someone, because we all have these variety of different relationships that we're involved in. And Carolyn, your book was so great for this. Carolyn's new book, if you haven't had a chance to check it out, just amazing, Love in the Age of Ecological Apocalypse, Cultivating the Relationships We Need to Thrive. And in the book, she goes over all these different things, because as this energy of collapse starts brewing in us, we wonder, what do I tell my children? What about my neighbors? What about community? What about my work? And these are all the chapters in her book. You know, our loving our body. What's our relationship with food? What's our relationship with the animal kingdom and all the other species that we're affecting? What's
Peter,
our relationship with the universe? It's just so much, so rich.
Peter, I'm going to stop you right there for a second, because we have Bill from Oregon. Bill, would you speak to us about your thoughts or feelings or questions?
Sure. Hi, Carolyn. This is Bill. We've been in touch for years. Peter, we did the grief workshop right here. It's fabulous. I'm so delighted you guys are doing more of that and that you're going to put together this new online community.
Yes, Bill. Good to hear you, my brother.
Yeah. So we just finished up our tribe workshop here, and our technology for bringing people together face-to-face to bond and connect regarding just living life better is also, this part of that is so aligned with the prospect of what's coming down around collapse. So I'd love to collaborate with you and be part of the whole conversation to bring people together physically with each other.
We'd love
yes.
to collaborate with you as well. Yeah.
Yes, Bill. Thank you. I know you were on the show last month, and I've
yeah.
loved your work for years, and Bill's done amazing work in the men's work world, but also now into daring this edge, being one of these pioneers. We're coining a new term, or this collapse aware pioneer. that we're caps, you know, we're, I don't know, short for captain. We're the captains of this new thing that we're no longer doomers. We're no longer conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, very good.
We're literally pioneers on the cutting edge of this new energy of humanity that's coming out and then being expressed in so many ways. But like your work, Bill, thank you so much. To put people face-to-face is the next extension of what we're talking here. Can we put them voice-to-voice? And
uh-huh.
then can we dare to enroll people and invite people and then give people the tools to say, I want to have a meeting like this in my community.
Yeah,
right.
And those tools we're going to be making up as we go, because there is no precedent.
Right,
right.
Exactly.
So it becomes a pure creative act of love in a way.
Right, and that's the organic, inclusive nature that we're talking about here, is that we don't know what we're doing. None of us know what we're doing, but there's a few of us pioneers daring to educate ourselves and then daring to talk about it and then daring to say, let's get together, and daring to say, here's a few ideas, try these on, see if you like them, see if you don't, and thank you. Yes, wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm delighted. You know, I kind of hold both of you as my old friends from the old days, and the fact that you guys have found each other and you're doing this work together delights me to pieces. So, blessings.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you bet. Bye-bye.
Hey, Peter, we've got another caller. We have Lisa from Colorado. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm good. Good to talk to you. We haven't talked for a long time, right?
I know. Just minutes, it seems.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I love taking the word doomer out of it and putting the word pioneer in there, because I feel that my training comes from working with people in the spiritual self-help world, but trying to bridge positivity, and we can magically think this away and create a vision board, which is based on a capitalistic system of making a big fat profit. How do we bridge that into being a pioneer in a chaotic world? It's really interesting. I've had a few conversations with my own colleagues, and all of a sudden the words just stop and they start looking around and start twiddling their any out that they can get. They don't want to go there. And so you back off. But I think it's going to be something we do have to find a way to pioneer and bring people together and leave an open space and safety for them to explore what this even means if they haven't already gone there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. That's so right on with what brought me here was a deep spiritual. I started listening to Guy McPherson's work a year and a half ago, roughly now, and it was like, oh, my God. And then the oh, my God came rushing in to say, what is the spiritual response to this? What is the bigger story? What's beyond our humanity in relationship to the possibility, probability that we're creating a planet that won't be able to have human life on it?
Exactly. And recognizing duality at the same time. There's light and dark, and how do we hold both?
Trying
to swing that pendulum.
Mm-hmm. Right. What role can the spiritual communities play is still such a powerful aspect of what I'm hoping to create and emerge from anybody who wants to emerge it. I think this will be one major group that comes off of this work that we're daring to do, this pioneering work, is what's the role of spiritual pioneer if, in fact, this is happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we can't we can't do what so many scientists seem to be doing, is like, oh, we're in big trouble if we don't turn things around, and that's the end of my article.
Right?
Is that we have to dare to say, okay, community, assuming this is happening somewhere between 2 years and 20 years from now. I mean, that's all you've got to hold in your brain, is that it's coming within the next 20 or 30 years, and that's soon enough to dare to put your mind to work and your heart to work and your spirit to work and say, assuming this is happening, who are we? What does it mean to be alive? What does it mean that we say we're spiritual beings having a human experience? What does that really mean?
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, because I believe that, in the way Carolyn approaches it, and, I've worked with some people in the collapse-aware environment, and then you look at the positive and happiness, spirituality, and grow and achieve. But we both have that commonality of being in the present and all is one. But exactly what does that mean? Does that mean positivity? Does that mean negativity? Is it both and? And how can we find space to integrate both realities in this experience?
Lisa, I want to thank you for calling in. We've got some other callers happening here.
Sure.
And so I'm so grateful for what you're adding to the conversation, and we hope to be online with you soon and having this conversation continue.
Yes, thank you. I would love to be there. And
thanks for calling
you, Peter.
In.
Nice to meet you. Have a great
one. Nice to meet you, Lisa. Thanks.
Okay.
We got Lori from California. Speak to us, Lori.
Yes, hello, and thank you both for sharing this incredibly difficult topic of loss and grief and kind of how we're all in the hospice mode. I've got your book that you co-wrote with Guy McPherson, and I met Peter a few months ago in Chico. We were in a workshop weekend.
Excellent.
And I'm a clinician therapist, and last Sunday I kind of broke out of my comfort zone and did a three-hour group addressing this, and we had some people that are just curious, and I wanted to share from working in oncology as part of my pre-licensing. There's a thing called denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, and how it sounds like we're all needing to at some point get to the acceptance of this is how this may turn out to full-term aspect. And for a lot of people, that's just too big of a chunk to dive into when they still have their unresolved grief from family systems, life, the pet loss, a divorce. It's just, you know, shame, grief. People that back in the, I don't know, 80s, 90s, when a family member died of AIDS, that was a horrible shame. And so they didn't get the full support and comfort. So everyone's coming in on a different page with the planet stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
And so I have to say I wish I had a co-facilitator that had a clinical or social work background. I had kind of done it myself. There's about 20 people that showed up, which is magnificent. We're in a small city of maybe, I don't know, 95,000 people. And I was really stunned at how well people were eager, and I had maybe 5 or 6 men, no matter what that means or not, but we all know what that means as a female facilitator. When you always keep having females show up, you're kind of wondering, you know, what's that all about or not. But anyway, we shared some great questions, like, in order to hold and keep and maintain my values, beliefs, and convictions, it has cost me. So it's kind of like a fill-in-the-blank. We played it like a game.
Uh-huh.
I had a big piece of paper, cardboard thing, and so they just shouted it out. They didn't have to really own it so much. But name some of your hiding places or havens, you know. Worst-case scenario, what would that look like? And it just was a really nice conversation. So I plan to do this at some other centers around town now that I have this one under my belt. And, you know, just give people that physical feeling of they're not alone in this horrible, it's uncharted territory.
Right.
And I think, Peter, I just love you. I was so happy to connect with you over that weekend. And
thank you. Yeah, thank you for calling, and thank you for being just that perfect example of what we're talking about. So Guy McPherson dares to share his message. So I grab it and say, I'm going to take it to a community where I think I can share it up in Chico. And you come down from Reading to be part of the Chico thing, and then you go back home and you say, I want to do something with this. I feel this calling that I'm feeling like I'm past just spending all my time wanting to understand it. I need to do something. I need to dare to share it. And then you go to dare to share it, and 20 more lives are touched directly, and then they go home and touch all their lives. And this is the inclusiveness. This is the feedback loop we can create on the positive side.
Yes, and we become those safe people to approach, because some family members are sick to death of them, pardon the pun, but really of them ruining the picnic, the wedding, because they're going to eventually come to this tragic topic and ruin the whole party. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's just this matrix, and this, you're just supposed to behave and just don't, you know, sharpen up your resume and get a better job and all this stuff that's supposed to make a difference. It's like that saying that Guy has about counting money and your air, you know. The economy's not going to matter if how long can you hold your breath while you're counting your money.
Exactly, basically.
So I love that, and your books are great, and I look forward to just connecting more. Really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Larry. Please connect with us by email or on Facebook, and give us your contact information, because we'd like to include you in possibly a Skype call. And, Peter, we're going to be talking about a larger network of support, but we've got another caller. Imagine that.
Darn those callers.
Thank you, Lori, for calling. Thank you so much. We'll be in touch.
Let's call these callers.
Yeah. Go ahead, Judith in Colorado.
Yeah. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
Hi, Peter.
Hello,
well,
Peter.
I'm excited to hear about this larger support network for you, Carolyn. That's great. It's a great opportunity, I think, to expand all your profound work.
And you can be part of it if you want to.
and I feel like it's on the cutting edge, like you have expressed, that it's addressing the spiritual and emotional response to collapse and near-term and extinction. And I could echo a lot of the other callers, because for me it's been essential, especially now, because, you know, to listen to your wisdom and to explore in depth the sacred practices that you suggested in all your books and your articles, they've helped me so much.
Well, I'm so happy to hear that, and we really appreciate your support and appreciate your calling in today.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah. Another thing that's appealing to the network is that you've talked about not only giving us a chance to share our wisdom and support each other, but also I think there could be ways of discovering to develop programs or something like that to get your message out. And also how we can personally engage.
Thank you, Judith. That's so exactly what we're looking to create for people is to bring them in, welcome them into the community, and then invite them to move it back out, however that is. Maybe you're an artist who does it with paint, or maybe you're into spirituality, or maybe you're into yoga, whatever it is, to assist you in moving out your message to the next ripple effect.
Right. That's great. And I think that's the way we can personally engage in this process, because we're whatever we feel drawn to. And, that's, to me, I'm also going to Sobhamphu's grief ritual this weekend. And after listening to your experiences, Peter and Caroline, I really know it's going to be very helpful.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you there, Judith, and thank you so much for calling in.
Well, I definitely want to be a part of this network, so thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. We look forward to joining with you, and we've got Dean on the line from Oregon. Talk to us about helping with data and depression, Dean.
Oh, it's funny that those are the words that happen to click for the person taking notes there. I just appreciate this call, and it feels like the flow of it is just such a natural part of what I've been up to now for well over a year, from working a little bit with Guy McPherson and producing some video work for him, and following Mike Rupert and now you, Carolyn, for quite some time on this remarkable show. And Peter, I've known Peter for quite some time as well, and it's great to hear you being so articulate, Peter. And I particularly want to thank you for your great job of acknowledging Carolyn, because I don't think that gets done nearly enough. And you've done a really good job of that today. So thanks for representing that today.
Thank you. Thank you, Dean.
Yeah.
Dean's another great example of how this, that would honor you too here, of how this can spread, how somebody just taking the ball and moving it to the next area can create new and magical things. I used to live in Ashland, Oregon, so I took a trip up there with Guy McPherson, and we put on some workshops, and Bill Kalth, who called in earlier, helped us design a workshop up there, and Dean came to that workshop, and Dean was open and ready and already wise in a lot of these categories, and said, wow, this is what I want to do. And now, Dean, tell us a little bit about what you got up your sleeve, because you got some exciting stuff happening.
I do. I just feel like, particularly just in the last few days, each of these items has just caught fire in the most wonderful way. I'm really looking at creating some. Judith just mentioned the creating of programs to give people a safe place to learn about the essential information. Really a remarkably small amount of it anymore is really about the data and projections of the science of abrupt climate change. It really, the challenge is exactly where y'all are talking today, about how do we come together and ask the question, who will we be together in the face of humanity's greatest challenge ever? And the beingness, the sharing of grief, is probably one of the most powerful doors we can open together. And so I bring my gifts. I've really committed myself to bring my gifts to the world in whatever way they can be of service. And one of them is to create a number of different seminar offerings and also video webinar offerings for that kind of safe inquiry that people can do at their own pace, at their own depth, instead of being antagonized and being up in the public discourse, which gets pretty nasty out there.
Right.
And so to have a safe place where they can either alone, which I would, of course, not recommend, because, grieving is just not something we do alone, unless we're an American.
Yeah.
USA.
Right. So anyway, to bring my expertise in designing and delivering trainings on both webinar platforms and also live, and then also to be writing a book, which is my first book. I'm very excited about that. And the book, it's got a placeholder title with all due respect to Ram Dass, who had a movie produced about him called Fierce Grace. I'm going to be calling my book Fierce Grace because that is what I believe we're all called to now. Mm-hmm. The grace is the kind of expanded, open-hearted feeling that you all have been talking about when you go to a Francis Weller or Sabam Fusome workshop, whoever it is, or Carolyn's coming up. What is very predictable to me in my experience is you immerse. Peter, you talked about how you just walk into Francis Weller's workshop and how they set up the space was inspiring to you almost immediately. And that grace combined with the word fierce is what I believe is the calling now. And if we're, because doesn't promote that grace, that opening, that expression, that connection with one another and with the earth, we don't get much in the way of inspiration. It's so easy to be discouraged, so easy to be recoiling away from connection with each other and from it really fully expressing ourselves. So really the book will be kind of a center point to call people to that grace and hopefully to open as many doors as possible so that people can generate it for themselves and find a way to generate it with each other at whatever level they are in the conversation, even if it's brand new to them.
Right, because like someone else said too, people are coming, Lori said, people are coming at this from every different imaginable angle, and we need to have open doors from every different angle. And that is just so, wow, so powerful to even ponder. How do you find out which door the person's coming through and be prepared to meet them and greet them with grace? Because you can't be fierce right off the bat with all of them. I mean, the fierceness really is our own passion to invite people into this story, to invite people to this place beyond their humanity, this place that says, wow, we're going to ponder the most powerful topic ever pondered. Have a seat and let's talk. Yeah.
Peter, the word fierce I'm using in a very particular way, and the word that the concept that comes to mind is, you know, a lioness, a mother lion, is fierce, and it's not about her bizarre anger, you know, out of touch anger. She's fierce and she's completely centered and connected. And if somebody messes with her cubs, that fierceness is the most natural, in fact, the most beautiful expression. And so it's that fierceness that I believe, you know, certainly I feel called to in terms of a natural feeling of love and appreciation and standing for our earth, our habitat, and each other, and the four-leggeds, and so on. It feels like a mother lion kind of fierceness that I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I really relate to that. And I'm so glad, Dean, for the input that you're giving us about the, you know, your skills, your gifts in terms of doing webinars and trainings. And I just want to reiterate what Peter and I kind of alluded to. I'd like to make it a little clearer, which is that we're looking at the possibility of gathering people together for a regular ongoing Skype conversation. And another thing that we're looking at is creating a free online webinar in which we interview a number of key speakers whose work is related to these issues. It doesn't cost people anything to watch the individual interviews, but if the viewer wanted to have a whole set of interviews, it might cost something like $25 to $40, depending on the number of people that we invite to speak. And, you know, our friend and colleague Michael Dowd recently did a webinar like this called The Future is Calling Us to Greatness. And it featured interviews with people like me and John Michael Greer, Richard Heinberg, James Howard Kunstler, Derek Jensen, Lier Keith, and so on and so on. And we want people to be part of this. So, again, if you would email me at carolyn@carolynbaker.net or leave a message on my Facebook page. And, Peter, your email address again?
It is peter.melton3@gmail.com. And this is, you know, I wanted to mention one other thing on this line, Carolyn, is just a couple days ago on Earth Day, the Shift Network and the Sustainable World Coalition, Vineet Allen, put together an amazing Earth Day, all day, 8 hours of speakers talking about this situation we're creating on Earth, but so refreshing. He started the thing off by saying, you know what, I've been involved in environmental issues for a long, long time. And we've been doing for such a long time that it's time, and this their whole day was dedicated to the beingness of what is this grace, what is this fierce grace that we have to find to say, wait a minute, our planet is dying. Someone's trying to get our planet, and it's us. But we've got to protect our planet so that we may survive and so that any other life could survive. And so I really want to honor people who are daring to get to this place of the beingness. So check it out, Shift Network, Sustainable World Coalition. It was called Awakening to the Sacred Activism, something of that nature. But if you go to Shift Network, you'll see it, Shift Earth Day, powerful all-day presentation with several amazing speakers.
Well, thank you, Dean, for calling in. Thank you, everyone, for calling in. You know, Peter, one of the questions that people sometimes ask us, because understandably a lot of people are depressed and sometimes they don't even want to get out of bed in the morning, or maybe they haven't been doing it, gathering information, and so they aren't feeling motivated to do much of anything else. I'd like to ask you, Peter, what gets you up in the morning?
Yeah, I've been fascinated by this whole topic since I first heard about it. And something in me resonated. Some deep part of me knew that this was a topic that was going to bring out a part of me that I wanted, and a part of me that, it was going to grow me. This topic was going to grow me in a way that I couldn't grow myself otherwise. There's a blossoming that's happening. I often describe it as a wind in the sails.
Yeah.
Effect that it's like, oh my God, I've been a lifetime optimist and avoided sad feelings and everything my whole life, I think. But something about, I'm like, wait a minute, I can't be one of these guys who's going to talk about, you know, the possibility that the world is going to end. That's not me. You know, I'm a happy, positive, playful guy, you know, but something here is calling me. And that's when I mentioned earlier about the spirituality. This flush came about me, this place from beyond my humanity is the only place I can describe it. I often call it my cosmic chuckle, this place beyond me that's just going, okay, here you go. This is what you wanted, and here you go, that there's so much more than my humanity. And just from the human package called Peter, you know, this is scary stuff. And, oh, my God, everything's going to change. But from that deeper part of me that I continue to come to know at a deeper and deeper level, that I know that there's a bigger story unfolding. And the thrill that gets me up in the morning and animates my day and makes me want to just relish the beauty that is, to celebrate what we have while at the same time daring to feel the grief of what it is we've created, is this feeling of, my God, can I live this? Oh, I mentioned it earlier, the spiritual being having a human experience. Can I actually live that in my body now? Can I own that part of me that is beyond my humanity that rushes through me to say, wow, there's an infinite timeline that I am part of. And I'm also part of this thing called Peter on this planet Earth doing this linear timeline. And wow, what a dance that there's a dream going on, that the spiritual being is having a lucid dream where it knows it's awake, but yet it still feels like it's in the dream. And it's dreaming, but it's awake, and just the richness of the paradox of our time.
Well, thank you so much for that, and I'll respond with what gets me up. You know, what gets me up every day is definitely not just gathering more information, even though gathering information is a huge part of my work in terms of the Daily News Digest that I've been publishing 7 days a week for about 8 years. But that's not what carries me through these daunting times. What gets me up in the morning are a number of things that I get to do, that I have the privilege of doing. You know, I get to be with my animals. I get to look out at, you know, just less than a mile away, the foothills of the Rockies. I get to do this work that I'm doing that I so love with all my heart and soul, this work of coaching people who are dealing with these issues, who are waking up, who want to be pioneers, you know, this work of doing this radio show, this work of doing workshops and writing books. I love writing, you know, that's really my passion. And also, I get to grieve. I get to go to a workshop like Suman Foos that I'm going to this weekend, and I get to create a workshop that I can offer to other people. And so, you know, recently this week, I wrote an article called Is There Life Before Death? Because there's so much focus now in the collapse community on we're going to die, and my goodness, we must be prepared for that. We must focus on death. We must be willing to talk about it and prepare for it. And that's not all. How are we going to live? What does it mean to live a life of excellence? What does it mean to live with peace, passion, and purpose? And so I get to try to figure that out for myself, and I get to share with other people about this like we're doing today. So, Peter, do you have any last thoughts on our conversation today?
Yeah, I want to pause before we jump forward to, again, honor you for the leadership role that you have been playing and continue to play in daring to put yourself out into this most vulnerable of places, into the grief, into the fear, into the counseling of people who are dealing with these situations that are so far beyond any normal human experience that people are grasping at and having to hold in their minds the possibility that this house of cards could come down and everything that could mean.
Right.
And thank you for holding that space, and thank you for going a step further with this article, amazing article, Is There Life Before Death? Is There Life Before Death, where you dare to break it down. Here, get away from your computer. Practice appreciating beauty. Practice your creativity every day, right? Live passionately. Move your body. Express your love to the people you love, you know, like the subtitle of your book, Live with Death in Mind. Treat people like it's the last time you're going to see them.
Right.
And just see what that moves. Feel the passion that moves through your body, and sit with the sensation of, my goodness, this could be the last time I see someone. Just by virtue of being alive, there's the obvious nature that we're going to die, and we don't get to know when that is.
Right.
So it is true that this could be the last time you see anybody. So express that love. And find the joy and humor where you can find it. And be sure to connect to your breath every often chance you can find to say, wow, the earth is breathing me. This whole system is breathing me, you know, and connect to the breath and then to whatever degree to find acceptance with the situation that we've found ourselves in, and to commit to the practice, the mindfulness practices, whatever they are for you, to help take you to that place beyond your humanity, your spirituality, your meditation, your yoga, whatever it is for you, your art. And so I wanted people to hear those 10 points that you make, because the article is amazing, carolynbaker.net. Is There Life Before Death? A short read, but powerful to take us to that next step. And thank you so much for that article. Your book is also amazing, how it touches on all the different, you're daring to break it down, Carolyn, and this is what we've been waiting for. And this is why this call has been so exciting for people, because it's time. I'm ready for this breaking down of what we're talking about into bite-sized, life-sized pieces.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for supporting me in this effort and for being on the show today. We want to give our email addresses again, carolyn@carolynbaker.net, or messages you can leave on our Facebook pages for Peter Melton, M-E-L-T-O-N. Your email, again, Peter?
Is Peter with a period and then Melton. So peter.melton3@gmail.com. Would love to hear from any of you what we're what we're wanting to set up is these Skype calls where we can be face-to-face and voice-to-voice with those of you who feel like you're these pioneers, this collapse-aware pioneers who are daring to go to that next level, and then support you in any way that we can, promote the work that you're up to, and help you get out there and do your thing so that you can touch other people who can then go out and do their thing. And that's what we're setting up, along with what we're calling a wisdom council, an inner circle specifically for Carolyn's work, to help us spread this so that we can help other people spread it. So it's a couple of different things going on, and we're eager to see who wants to play with us.
Sounds great, Peter. Thank you so much for being on the show today. We welcome all of you back next week for the Lifeboat Hour. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for those of you who called in, and we look forward to being with you again in 7 more days. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Love you.
The morning, put on my slippers, walked in the kitchen and died. And oh, what a feeling when my soul went through the ceiling and on up into heaven I did ride. When I got there, they did say, John, it happened this way. You slipped upon the floor and hit your head. And all the angels say, just before you passed away, these were the very last words that you said. Please don't bury me down in the cold, cold ground. No, I'm gonna have them cut me up and pass me all around. Throw my brain in a hurricane and the blinds can have my eyes. And the deaf can take both of my ears if they don't mind the sound. Give my stomach to Milwaukee if they run out of beer. Put my socks in a cedar box, just get them out of here. Venus de Milo can have my arms, look out, I've got your nose. Sell my heart to the junk man and give my love to Rose. But please don't bury me down in that cold, cold ground. No, I'm gonna have them cut me up and pass me all around. For my brain in a hurricane and the blinds can have my eyes. And the deaf can take both of my ears and fill my sight. Give my feet to the footloose, careless, fancy free. Give my knees to the needy, don't pull that stuff on me. Hand me down my walking cane, it's a sin to tell a lie. Send my mouth way down south and kiss my